Wow, what a reading. And what an illustration of the Bible, how it's a collection of 66 books, different books, different types of writing, all compiled into one place, telling one story. And that's what we've been going through over the last 18 months or so. We've been working our way through the Bible, starting with Genesis at the beginning, working our way all the way through over 18 months. And now finally, we're here in Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Wonderful. So, let me start by asking a question. Have you ever experienced anything which is so wonderful, so amazing, so incredible that you can't find the words to properly describe it? Maybe it's a football game, okay, when your team is staring down the barrel of a humiliating defeat, about to lose not just a match, but the league. But then, in the very last minute, your star striker scores a goal and everything is back on again. You've won the league. Aguero! Is that just me? Okay, maybe this one then. Maybe you have you've been to a concert where the music is so sublime that it stirs your heart in a way you've never experienced before. And you want to be able to tell people what it was like, how it made you feel. But it was so incredible. You just can't do it. See, some things we experience in life are just so incredible that we can't find the words to describe quite how wonderful they are. It's like human words are limited and they can't do justice to what we've just experienced. Well, that is what was happening in our Bible reading this morning, our reading from Revelation. Revelation was written by a man called John, who just had this mind-blowing experience. It was so wonderful that he struggled to find the words to describe just what he'd seen and heard. Can anyone remember, kids maybe, can anyone remember what that experience was that John was trying to describe? Go on, Elsie. Right, that's right, he'd seen Jesus. He'd had this experience of having a vision of Jesus. Jesus had appeared to him while he was praying one Sunday morning. I think it was morning, it might have been evening, but anyway, one Sunday, the Lord's Day, he says, the Lord's Day, he was praying, and Jesus had appeared to him and gave him a message to pass on to groups of Christians in seven different cities around what was then called Asia, we know it as Turkey now. And those Christians were going through a really, really difficult, painful time. They lived in the Roman Empire in a time of extreme persecution. They were being arrested, tortured, and even killed simply for worshipping Jesus and refusing to worship false gods. Now kids, adults as well, but especially kids, I want you just to pause and think for a moment. How do you think that would have felt? How would you have felt in that situation? You're a Christian. You want to worship Jesus. You feel you have to worship Jesus, but it's dangerous. And you've seen friends and even maybe family members arrested, thrown in prison, or even worse. How would you feel in that situation? Yeah. Frightened? Okay. So you'd want to leave to move somewhere where you can worship. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you'd feel sad. Maybe you'd feel desperate. All these emotions that might be going around your mind. Now John, the man who wrote down those words that we were listening to a few moments ago, John had been arrested for telling people about Jesus. Thankfully he wasn't killed, but he was sent away into exile to an island called Patmos. And that would have been a really hard thing for him to deal with. But he kept his faith in Jesus. And he kept praying. And he kept worshipping by himself. But he kept going. And then one morning, as he's praying, John experiences something absolutely extraordinary. From behind him, he hears a loud voice like a trumpet. Now, in those days, a trumpet was used often to announce the arrival of somebody really, really important. Like when the king was arriving in town. Now, I don't have a trumpet, but as you know, if you're here a while back, I do have a megaphone. Ha-ha! Oop. Sorry, Mrs. Shush. Yeah. Now, who's good at reading? Have you got any kids who are good at reading? Isaac, I know you are. Come on. No? You've got the opportunity to use a megaphone. There we go. Come on, Isaac. Right. I needed this bit, okay? I'm going to hold it, okay? And, okay, so there's John. He's praying and worshipping, okay? And then behind him, there's a loud voice, like a trumpet, and it said, read that.
Write on a scroll what you see and send it to 7 churches.
Wow! Get a round of applause. Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the 7 churches. So John turned round, and what did he see? Have a look in your Bibles. Page 1207, if you've got one of the Bibles from this bookshelf here. Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. Somebody tell me, what did he see? Somebody looking like the Son of Man, or someone in a human being, yeah. And what else was it about that? What else did he see? 7 golden lampstands, yep. And amongst the golden lampstands, someone like a Son of Man. What was he wearing? Before that? A robe. Okay, we've got a robe. We've got a robe. Come on, somebody. Let's see. Who can I pick on? Oh, somebody tall. Vicky, where's Vicky? Come on, Vicky. Yeah, give Vicky a round of applause. Here's a robe that I wear all the time, Vicky. Okay. There we are. Nice long robe. Very good. And what else was there? A golden sash. Gold sash. So let's just pull that together like that. And then we'll put that around you like that. There we go. Fantastic. Okay. Good. Now this is where it gets a little bit more tricky actually. Because what else? What else did we see? Did he see? Huh? Feet like bronze. Not quite there, are we? Head and hair white like wool. Well, no. Eyes like blazing fire. They are pretty. They're pretty good. Pretty close. Yeah. Okay. The voice like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held the 7 stars. 7. No, we've not got those. Okay. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. We've not got that. You see, it's quite hard, isn't it? We can get so far with this illustration. But actually what John's describing is so incredible that it's hard for us to process. Thank you. Let's give Vicky a round of applause as she sits down. Thank you, Vicky. And the face shining like the sun in all its brilliance. If you've ever been to the Mediterranean, or the Middle East, some of you are from the Middle East, and on a sunny day, midday, how bright and how shiny and how just dazzling the sun is. That's the kind of thing that John's describing, the face shining like the sun in all its brilliance. So what are we to make of that? What an incredible image. Well, remember at the start of our message, how we were thinking about how some things are just too amazing, just too incredible to put into words. Well, that's what's going on here. John has seen a vision of Jesus and it has completely blown his mind. It's like nothing else and no one else he's ever seen before. It's so outside his everyday experience that he can't find the words to fully describe it. All he can use is imagery that he and the people he's writing to have experienced to try and convey just a sense of the magnificence of what he's just seen. And each part of his description of what he's seen relates to an aspect of who Jesus is. So, let's see if we can work it out. The robe. What do we think the robe symbolized? And the golden sash. What do you think? Someone who's just about to have a bath. Not that kind of robe. Royalty. Somebody who's really, really important. That's right. And royal, the golden sash. Somebody who's a royal figure. A king, perhaps. And it's the head and hair white as snow. Snow symbolizing purity. Like on a beautiful snowy day when the snow's... And you look out your windows before any people have walked and turned it into slush, or before any dogs have been out and turned it yellow. That beautiful, pristine, white snow is pure. Maybe that's what that's about. Eyes like fire. Face shining like the sun in all its brilliance. It's a picture of God's glory. So great, so powerful, so overwhelming that John falls at his feet, completely unable to move. And this is the first thing I want us to realize this morning, to reflect on. It's this. Jesus is far, far, far more wonderful, far more powerful, far more glorious than we realize. Far more brilliant than we can even begin to imagine. Jesus is not just the carpenter's son who died on the cross, although he is. But he's more than that. He is the risen, ascended, and exalted Son of God who reigns eternally in majesty and glory. The King of Kings, more glorious than we can even begin to imagine. Jesus is Lord. Lord of all, King of all creation. And that means he's worthy of all our worship, all our praise, all our everything, every day and forever. So, although the churches that John is writing to are going through a really, really painful, difficult time, and there are people here who know how that feels from first-hand experience, Jesus wants them to know that he is still Lord. He is still the risen, ascended, exalted, and glorified one, the King of all creation. He is in control, and they will overcome if they keep their trust in him. And that is true for us too. You know, whatever struggles or hardships we go through in life, and we do, whatever trials we experience, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. And he's far greater and far more powerful than we can even begin to realize. And that means that we can trust him. We can trust him to carry us through those painful times in our life. Whatever storms we face, we can trust him to hold us and to see us through. But it gets even better than that. Because did you notice what John sees when he first turns round? Have a look at verse 12. What's the very first thing that he sees? Go on, Elsie. Seven gold lampstands. And did anybody spot what the lampstands represent? Anyone spot that? The churches, the seven churches that Jesus wants to give a message to letters to. That's right, the lampstands are the seven churches. And where is Jesus in this vision? Among them. Jesus is right there among them. In other words, Jesus is showing them through this vision that even though they're going through such a painful time, even though life just seems unbearable at times, they're not alone. Jesus is right there with them. He's right there among them, in the thick of it with them. And the wonderful truth is that whatever we go through in life, and whatever our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world where the church is persecuted, in Iran, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, wherever else in the world the church is persecuted, whatever we go through, whatever you may be going through right now, you are not alone. We are not alone. Jesus is right here in our midst. Closer than you think. Closer than a breath. And he wants you to know his presence. Because Jesus delights in making himself known to his people. He does it, this is where I'm going to wrap up now with three final points. Jesus does it in various ways. Look how he made himself known to John. First of all, John hears a loud voice. Jesus speaks to him. And the truth is that Jesus still speaks to us today. The problem is that we often close our ears. We find ourselves distracted by so many other things, by the TV, by our phones, by social media, by whatever else it is that we may be giving our time to. So often we don't hear. But if we will make space in our lives to stop and listen to Jesus, we will hear him. He will speak to us because he promises. That's the first thing. That's how Jesus, first way in this passage that we see that Jesus makes himself known to his people. Second way that Jesus makes himself known to John is this. John turns and he sees him. This is not a great illustration, I'll be honest, but it just makes the point. John sees him. John has a vision of Jesus. And Jesus still reveals himself today to people, visibly. He reveals himself in dreams and visions. A friend of mine from a Muslim background gave his life to Jesus after Jesus appeared to him in a dream and said, "Follow me." And that's not unusual. Lots and lots of people from Muslim backgrounds have experienced that and have come to faith in Jesus as a result. Anybody here, just out of interest, anybody here had a vision of Jesus in a dream? Solomon has. Yeah. So we need to be praying, actually, praying that God will reveal, that Jesus will reveal himself more and more to our brothers and sisters, well, not to our brothers and sisters, but those who are not yet to be our brothers and sisters in Muslim cultures, that they might turn to know him too. I was chatting to a lady a couple of weeks ago in Pete's Place who'd had a vision of Jesus during a near-death experience. So let's be praying that Jesus continues to reveal himself more and more to people in that way. Finally, what is the third way that Jesus reveals himself to John? That's the third way that John experiences Jesus in that vision. Through his word. Okay, that's a good one. I hadn't spotted that one, but that's good, Pat. We've got four. That's the third. Okay, another one. What happens? John has fallen at Jesus' feet, and he feels Jesus place his hand on him. And he says, I know that's not really good, is it? It's a social distancing stick, but it needs another airing. Jesus touches John, and he says, "Don't be afraid." And maybe you felt Jesus' touch in your life. I know I have. And I also know that when we're going through difficult times, when I'm going through difficult times, Jesus wants me and wants you to know his touch. He wants us to feel his hand on our shoulder or our head or our heart and to hear those words that he spoke to John, those words which bring light in the darkness and hope out of despair. He says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever." And I believe there are people here this morning who need to know the presence of Jesus right now. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you need to hear his voice. Maybe you need to have a renewed vision of how glorious and wonderful he is. Maybe you need to feel his touch once again, or maybe even for the first time. So what we're going to do is we're going to make a bit of space for that to happen. The band are going to come up and are going to lead us in a beautiful Farsi worship song. And as they do, you may want to stand and sing, which is great. You may want to sit and just receive from the Lord. That's also great. However you want to receive from the Lord, how you want to encounter him this morning, let's come to him with open hearts, ready to encounter him and to receive everything he wants, to hear his voice, to have our vision renewed, and to feel his touch on our hearts. Why don't we stand together, and I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, you promised that you, although you're going back to the Father, you weren't going to leave us as orphans. You were going to send your Holy Spirit to be our comforter. And Lord, right now, there are those of us here, many of us here, who need your comfort and your touch. And Lord Jesus, you said that anybody who asks to be filled with the Holy Spirit will receive, will be filled. And so we ask you now, Holy Spirit, will you come? speak to us with the words of Jesus. Renew our vision of your glory and touch our hearts with the fire of your love. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.